from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who's a little bit, like, I wouldn't say I'm out of breath, but I would say, hey, like, I got here, like, now I'm shallow of breath right now, but I'm going to start to breathe deeper once I get off the mic, otherwise my mouth will make too many noises. Okay, there we go. I don't know if you caught that, but I'm breathing. And you know, you might not be able to breathe easy, because if you're like me, maybe it's thoughts, maybe it's feelings, maybe it's physical sensations. Whatever is keeping you awake, I'm here to take your mind off of it and keep you company while you fall asleep. That's what Sleep With Me is all about, is keeping you company, being your friend in the deep, dark night, because I've been there, a lot of other people listening have, and you deserve a good night's sleep. This show is very silly, though. It's serious. I'm talking now. It's a very goofy podcast. It does take some getting used to, so give it a few tries. Coming up here, we'll have the support that lets the show come out free twice a week, then the long, meandering intro meant to ease you into bedtime, then a bedtime story where we'll do an unboxing and use the new Excel version of the Writer In Case You Need It pack by John August, and we'll open a couple other things here. It'd be a friend in the deep, dark night, just like if you called me and you said, talk to me, I'm not going to listen to you. I'd say, terrific. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And these sponsors are what enable us to do it for free twice a week. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Which, just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, If the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like, you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like, I do need, like, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place, more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Luxe. You know, I sleep on my stomach, I sleep on my side, I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo. Modern management made simple. All right, everybody, Scoots here. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you here. It's where I pop my peas. If you please, I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors. Yeah, this part of the podcast is a little bit higher energy than the rest of the show because these are the people who keep the show free for everybody. I would love to be saying your name here. If you support a sponsor, let them know about it. Let me know about it so I could thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. We haven't heard from anybody in a little while, but I wanted to thank some people who took the time to support the show and to write up some testimonials about why they support the show on Sleep With Me Plus. And I want to thank Ramada. And Ramada said, you know, I feel so good knowing I'm reaching across the deep dark night to support others with this free resource that's available to anybody. And Ramada said, hey, if you can afford $5, $10, $20 a month, try it out for a few months. So many people this podcast helps. And that includes you, right, Ramada? Thank you. So if you want to be on the Sleepy Supporter Zone like Ramada, support the show, fill out the form. If you support a sponsor, tag them, tag me. Fill out that form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Thanks, Ramada. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need right now. If you're having a tough time, there's links to resources in our show notes, including international resources you could connect with right now. It's also about being a part of positive change with our actions, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying support Ukraine, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying all these things, but taking action, learning more. There's links to resources. We could do that in the show notes. And you could join us. The things we're supporting right now, Sleep With Me directly, me personally, is the Midnight Mission in Los Angeles. It's a shelter that's there to help people experiencing homelessness. We're supporting the Trevor Project. You can support the Trevor Project directly as well. And we're supporting Hand in Hand. You know, I first heard about Hand in Hand from RGB, and I've been supporting it. And right now is an important time to support an organization looking to move forward. Hand in Hand is Israel's fastest growing integrated social movement. Their work reaches thousands of people every day, proving we can live together as Jews and Arabs, Israelis and Palestinians. And while there's a lot of different ways to support whatever's hurting your heart right now, Hand in Hand is one of those. And that's the one we've been supporting. And you could learn more about the Midnight Mission, Hand in Hand, or the Trevor Project and support any of those organizations or support whatever works for you. But you can see those links right in our show notes. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out in the show. Who are they?
Posty poster song. Sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. And it kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. You can support Dear Scooter on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget, if you want a free way, you say, well, I love the ad-supported show, Scoots, but I prefer something without the supporter zone or without this stuff. If you can't afford to support the show directly, you could sign up for our referral program for free, refer people to the free podcast, and get access to ad-free episodes and story-only episodes. That's at sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. That's refer. sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. What do you say? We slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, you know, things on your mind that you're thinking about, like thoughts, thinking stuff, feelings, anything emotionally coming up for you related to those thoughts, or feelings that are just there. Surprise feelings that they're not the kind of feelings you would invite to a surprise party. But they would have feelings about not being, they'd say, why wasn't I invited to the surprise party? And you'd say, well, conceptually, the idea of a surprise party is that, like, in my mind at least, is like that it's a surprise of joy, like a joyous surprise. And it's kind of one of those two-way things. I never thought about it till just now, but I'm surprised and I'm filled with joy and appreciation, but you're surprising me with joy. And to be honest, most of my thoughts, my feelings, I don't normally associate you with joy, jumping with joy and surprise. Also, I was trying to introduce a sleep podcast and not to totally blow your existence out of the water, but you're not only a metaphor. You're more than a sum of the fact that you're just a metaphor for whatever I forgot that I was trying to make a metaphor for. And you say, I'm sorry, what? And I say, exactly. That's what it's like being in my mind. And I don't even have a metaphor. Like, that was a metaphor that made itself, you know what I'm saying? So it could be feelings. Feelings that just are there at bedtime. You didn't even know they surprised you. But not the surprise party kind of surprise. Or the peekaboo one. One of the few things I'm really good at, is that I don't say actually peekaboo, but I'm good at with those the age of a child, not an infant, but you know, a babe in arms. I don't want to brag, but because other than the babies that I make cry, my just being in their general vicinity, which is a percentage, I'd say 20%. The other 80%, when I have an opportunity to do that thing. Where I usually like to go behind a pole or an object, but I do use my hands or my arms. I'm pretty good at that. So that's another form of surprise. That one wouldn't be bad for bedtime. You just say, well, actually, I'm going to close my eyes anyway. So that's another one I do with kids I'm just babysitting, like my siblings' kids, is I do the pretend falling asleep thing. If we have eye contact, this doesn't work with toddlers. It's got to be pre-toddler age. But you kind of look at them and then you kind of close your eyes to see if they'll mirror your behavior and fall asleep while they're doing it. I don't know if I've ever seen it work on the first 50 times, but you know, 51 through 90 or 1,000, it has worked. But what? So thoughts, feelings, physical sensations could be keeping you awake. That's what I was talking about. It could be changes in time, temperature, routine, weather. You could have something coming up. You could be going through something. You could have guests. You could be traveling. Whatever it is, I'm here to keep you company and take your mind off of it so that you can fall asleep. And the only reason I run through all that stuff is so you know you're not alone. That even if I haven't experienced what you're grappling with, whatever's keeping you awake, I may be able to relate to how it feels. And if I can't, I can guarantee you someone else that's listening right now can probably relate to how it feels, even if they haven't gone through the exact same thing. And all of us that are listening right now, even the part of me that's listening while I talk, which is kind of part of my job, the old producer brain, I call it, but my producer brain and my talking brain are like, yeah, I know how, like, it's not easy, right? And it's not easy because we all know this, even though it's hard to bring it to the surface. You deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place you could rest to get the sleep you need so your life is more manageable. You deserve that. You deserve a bedtime you don't have to dread. And those of us that have repeatedly dreaded bedtime and had it looming, we know how it is. And we know you deserve better than that. We want you out there flourishing, getting the rest you need, so your world is a better place to be in. That means that affects all of us. If your world's a better place, it has positive impact on everybody. And that's, as people say, it sounds trite, or part of my brain rolls its eyes. And I say, that's fine. But I know it's true. There's a pebble in the sand, or whatever they say, you know, pebble in my shoe. It's the inverse of that, right? You say, if everybody in airport had a pebble in their shoe, holy mackerel, I never put that on my gratitude list, but gratitude list came up in another intro. There's another one. If you don't like making gratitude lists, this, I guess, is a new thing I'm doing occasionally when I accidentally remember it. But this is another one we could all agree on. Dear gratitude. Today I'm grateful, even though I wasn't in an airport today, I know someone listening was, and I'm grateful not everybody in the airport had a pebble in their shoe, even though part of my brain is already interrupting me to say, what if it was a lucky pebble? And it'd say, I get it. Okay. Dear gratitude list, I'm grateful that I wasn't in an airport today where everyone had an uncomfortable pebble in their shoe, or even I had a pebble in my shoe, or majority people, or even if 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 100 people, it would have probably been not great. So just say that yourself. Next time I'm at the airport, I'll try to say that. Once I get into the airport proper, I mean, through the thing, like, that's the most relaxed I'll ever be. Because I think it's a relief. It's like after the wave crests for me. But, you know, but it can be, you know, like, that's one of those places where you never knew it. But suddenly we found a new level. You say, holy cow, I've never been more grateful. What if these people all had pebbles in their shoes? And I know, what if it was a pebble from a tropical beach they were? And I'd say, or that they're returning. And I'd say, okay, here's one more thing. Keep your lucky pebbles, or your pebbles that are part of a chosen journey. Maybe keep those somewhere else other than your shoe. And sure, you might discover the pebble later on and be grateful for it. That's a different story. This one is just some part of my brain interrupting me in introducing a sleep podcast. I just got sidetracked again, not even by my brain, but by outside. So I was trying to set up a sleep podcast, I think. Here's how the show works. I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. So I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to get mixed up. I think you've already seen, I don't know, 8 minutes of that already, and double back. But all that is part of the show. And pointless me. Oh, superfluous. Creaky dulcet tones. It's just my voice is not traditionally soothing. And the things to know is, one, the show is not for everybody. Most people find this show a bit off-putting, to put it mildly. I have a website, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou, that has a list of stuff there that you could check out. And you could kind of see like other sleep podcasts or other sleepy stuff. But give this show a few tries, honestly. That's what most people that regularly listen say. Oh, it took two or three tries. I didn't like the show when I first listened, or I didn't know what to expect. And I was waiting around for you to make sense and get to the point. And then eventually I fell asleep. And oh, now I understand. So those are a couple of things. And if you're skeptical or doubtful or irritated, why wouldn't you be, right? Like if you're, we've tried a bunch of stuff to fall asleep. And it hasn't worked for us, and you're probably tired. So that's totally acceptable to come to the show that way. This is also a podcast you don't really listen to. You could listen, you could kind of barely listen, like almost like sand going through your fingers or out of focus picture. There's some people that listen to me at a mumble. Some people listen to me across the room, but you can listen. Because the show isn't even here to put you to sleep. It's to keep you company while you fall asleep. There is no pressure at all to fall asleep. That's why the shows are over an hour. And there's over 500 episodes ready to go if you need them or that you can pick from your favorites. Because there's no pressure. I'm here to keep you company, to be your boyfriend, your boysib, your boy-bay, your boy-best, your neighbor, your boy-burr, your friend in the deep, dark night. And to keep you company because... Like there's people that listen that can't sleep, or people that are having a stressful day that are listening. So I'm here whether you're awake or asleep, whether you're listening or you're not. So those are a few things. What else do you need to know? Structure of the show. That's the next thing, right? I send my voice. Oh, no. Yeah, the structure of the show. The show starts off with a greeting, where I say, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. And I say something else. So you feel seen and welcomed in. And you say, oh, I could check this podcast out. I could see maybe I could listen to this, and I'll see how it goes. So that's what the greeting does. Then there's support. So the show can come out free twice a week. Even though the show sounds free and easy, that comes from a lot of work going into the show, which isn't important, but the support makes that possible. Then there's support for listeners. Then there's the intro, which is a show within a show. For some reason, I guess understandably, when people hear the support and they don't like that part, then they lump the support and the intro in as one thing. But the intro is like 10 to 20 minutes long. A show within a show where I introduce a podcast somewhat unsuccessfully. But it is like for regular listeners, like you could skip ahead, start the show at 20, 25, 30 minutes. And there is about 2% of people that do that. But for most regular listeners, it's part of the podcast. Like it's a progression, I guess. And I don't know if I've used that before, but it is like a part of a progression to bedtime where you could be getting ready for bed, in bed, getting comfortable, starting to drift off. But for most people, it's part of like a bedtime routine. Where you're kind of getting stuff settled, maybe doing some other sort of chill activity. So this eases you into bedtime. It's kind of like a twilight between getting ready for bed and being in bed, falling asleep. And, so it's kind of like, I guess that's what it is. And so that's the intro. Then there's support for the show again between the intro and the story. Then tonight will be a story. Kind of like a story. It's an episode of the Great British Bake Off. We'll be covering bakers and talking about, I don't know, like what they baked, what I saw, what jokes I could notice, maybe, I don't know, what are bangles? Did Prue have bangles on her? Were they on her left wrist or right? I think they were on her right wrist. Not sure if that was this episode, though. Not sure if they're called bangles. So that's kind of stuff we'll be talking about. And I think like that's and then there'll be thank yous at the end of the show. So this is a structure show. I talked about why I make the show. You deserve a good night's sleep. And I talked about the fact, yeah, it takes a couple tries to get used to the show. But I'm really glad you're here. I really hope this podcast can help you out and that you can get the rest you need. I really appreciate your time and you coming by. And I really hope I can help you fall asleep. So thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to do it for you for free twice a week. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D, the double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available, relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Air Doctor. There's an Air Doctor humming in the other room right now. You can't hear it, but I know it's there. And I know it's going to be smoky season here in the Bay Area. Not to mention they live by a freeway and a cement plant. And so I love the peace of mind and the easy use that the Air Doctor brings because it just works. It's one of those things, it just works. And you may hear me say this, and I mean it. I love my Air Doctor because Americans spend 90% of our time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. And according to the EPA, indoor air can be as much as 100 times more polluted than outdoor air. And just in my house, that's about 60,000 breaths a day between my daughter, my dog, Koa, and I. And I'm so happy. Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so my lungs don't have to. Neither do your lungs. And the things I love about Air Doctor, one, it has a night mode where you could turn off all the lights. It has auto mode, or you could set the fan speed for what works for you. And I like to have my hair cleaned everywhere, in my room, in my daughter's room, and upstairs in our living room. I really believe you'll love it as much as I do. And they have a bunch of amazing options too now. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. So head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SLEEP, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. And exclusive to podcast customers, you will receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use that promo code SLEEP. Thanks, everybody. Hey, everybody, Scoots here. We're talking Roaring 20s week. What is this, episode 6? Episode 5, Collection 7, Great British Bake Off, Baking Show, Great British Bake You Off to Sleep. Let's see, Roaring 20s week, that's where we're at. Let's get this thing rolling. Let's get the show going, huh? Starts off with Sandy and Noel reading scripts. Okay, just a couple more buttons here. It's my first time, just kidding. I'm not kidding. because I got to make sure the subtitles are on so that I can read the dialogue. All right, here we go. So Sandy and Noel, Paul's the director. Paul's written the script for the week. There's a script. Yeah, apparently, he wants it to set the right tone. Sandra Thompson and Neil Folding. All right, Sandra, action. Welcome to Paul Hollywood's Great British Baking Show, starring Paul Hollywood. Paul has a bullhorn, and it's some, like I said, man, this one's like a little bit of a thriller. And we kind of have the teas, meringues, flappers, old-fashioned fear, freaking out, smiley face, pressure building, of course, and commenting, stuff going in the oven, tarts, it looks like, and even a tart on the floor. And that's the Great British Baking Show. Oh, we get this one. This, I feel like, I don't know if they've done this before. There's not this. So we get the bakers going into the tent. It seems like a nice day, a little breezy, but everyone, no one has coats on. And Michelle talks about how it's not easy to go from British Bake Off back to the tent. David talks. And they're going back to the Roaring Twenties. Jazz, Charleston, flappers, the Kellogg Brown Pot Packed. Tent walking, talking heads, tough going home. Four individually highly decorated custard pies. Custard should set. You got 2.5 hours on your market set. Go. Oh, let's take a look at what the judges are all wearing. It looks like I'm having trouble pausing. Okay, so Paul, like, he looks cool doing this. He always has his hands half in his pockets. He has jeans on, and is that would that be an Oxford shirt? Button down. Prue has on this really poppin' pink blazer. Then a sweater. I don't know what design you'd call that, but I don't know if it's cubist, but I'm going to say that. And a necklace with yellows and pinks and some reds. Her frames match her sweater. Her necklace matches her blazer. And her, she also has bangles on one of her wrists that kind of match everything. Now, Noel has on a pet sweater. Or no, it's a long sleeve. Is it a long sleeve shirt? But it's a shirt. It's a long shirt too. Like almost like you could picture him and wear it. Well, not really. Not long enough to wear it. I mean, it wouldn't be comfortable as a pajama shirt. I mean, I've seen that in movies, but it's like it has buttons. But it's a kind of a orange sherbet background with puppies and cats on it. Not hand drawn. And then Sandy has like a smoother shirt on, maybe silk. And it's a gray or black or navy background with pink polka dots. Gotta love those polka dots. So that's our fashion update. So get custard pies. Oh, so these are the ones from Slapstick Films. The Slapstick staple, they're not thrown around today, but that's what they would use on set, apparently, or what they're supposed to be. Stunt pies from silent movies. Those would have a heavy, thick crust. These are going to be short crusts that Paul wants to melt in the mouth. Don't make it too rubbery. Got to chill it down. You got to cool it down. Watch out, as they said. Got to have a theme of the 20s, which Prue likes Art Deco flappers. And we want the decoration to reflect that. An Art Deco flapper. And everybody's running around, obviously, trying to get their dough chilled and start making their fruits or mousses or whatever, custards, right? Elena's working. They start with her. We're looking forward to your custard pies. Bound to be weird, Prue says. It's going to be ancient Greek sea creature out of the sea, like a gorgon, a bit. and lemon and lavender, meringue seafoam, modeling chocolate, lemon shortcrust. But Bruce says, this is from the 20s. And Sandy says, sounds fantastic. Paul looks at the camera, smirking. Then we have Henry looked up the drink Kool-Aid. It was founded in the 20s in America. The original flavor, lemon and lime. So lemon and lime custard tarts with a little, the other flavor was raspberry. So he's going to put some raspberry curd hemispheres. And Henry's kind of cool. I like, he reminds me of Scoots during the day. But yeah, I said, that could be a sleep podcast. We've talked about Kool-Aid before. And people are trying to stick to their schedules. Rosie's also doing domes with elderflower jelly, hemispheres of jelly with flowers injected into them. So that'll be cool. Brand new, no horse vaccines, eh? 1920s glamour, floral jelly domes, matcha tea short crust. And let's see, Michelle's doing edible flowers, small garden. She's got a lot of flowers. Grow them in the garden. Blueberry white chocolate creme brulee. I don't know what the 20s theme is, though. Michelle had a hard week last week. Yeah, it was brutal. Paul's part wolf. Did you know that? Okay, then we got Michael, Steph. Everybody's getting their pastries out. Chilled, you got to roll it, pat it, mark it with a P for Priya, who's rolling hers out. You want to, I think they're doing blind baking too. And they put some sort of marbles in there. I'm sure I looked it up. A short crust isn't a favorite of Steph's. Paul's right over her shoulder. It's my nemesis. She says, hi, Paul. Thanks for being over my shoulder. Steph's zesty citrus, torched lemon meringue, fresh fruits, and classic tart citron with a bit more zest. Because they fill, yeah, they fill their blind bake with some sort of, I don't know, balls. I don't know what they are. Rocks, marbles, beans, I don't know. But everybody's are going in the oven, and you don't want them overbaked. Tiny bit of color. What could go wrong? Everything, Michael says. And we see some grass. Noel and Sandy are doing different 1920s characters. Everybody's making their custard. Somebody's got eggs. Somebody needs an egg. Basic custard, egg yolk, sugar cream, vanilla. But you better have a good pie. Orange extract is Alice. You will taste orange chocolate or orange custard pie with piped chocolate, orange curd. And how should it be? With a wobble in the middle. Okay. Blackberry custard for Rosie. Dark purple. Why not? And Helena's adding purple food coloring. But not everyone's an adventurous. David's classic vanilla custard. That's it. In the 20s, David says, they would, I don't know about their custard, so I'm doing fancy flapper custard, flapper girl biscuits on custards. And actually, we'll get a Matt Lucas shout out here. That's interesting. I didn't pick that up when I watched it. When Matt Lucas turned 30, Noel went to his birthday party dressed as a flapper girl. Interesting. Never felt so alive. David, you're a shoo-in if you punch him with flavor. He goes, oh, mine aren't flavored. So a lot of sequence of stuff, a lot of people mixing. They go to Michael's. Tell us about your custard. Mango, lime, ginger. Ginger in the pastry. That's a lot of ginger, Bruce says. Yeah, mango, lime, ginger, mango gelée discs, meringue kisses. So most of them are not 20s themed, though. I don't understand it, but maybe the flavors are. And something, I don't know, they're talking about discs. I missed it. And we go to Priya. Priya's doing double duty, two custards, a lemon custard and a raspberry custard. Raspberry's quite sweet, lemon's sharp and creamy. Lemon short crust, sliced fruit, takes it out of the oven. Everybody's taking theirs out. Half an hour left. Noel's going to give people haircuts on their fringes. And you got to fill it to the brim. No shallow, nothing shallow. But don't overfill it. Don't spill it because it'll burn the edge. So everybody's trying to get theirs in the oven full of liquid without messing it up. And Henry's on his meringue. A small window of time for your decorations. Bugsy, suckers. So a lot of different decoration. Elena's funny. Rosie's making her flowers. And they say, which animals are the most difficult? And Rosie says, rabbits are tough to work with. Cracks Noel up. Rabbits are not my thing. Give me an angry stallion. And Noel says, how about a crab who's having a bad day? Okay, Henry's working on a mirror glaze, which is sitting in the freezer. Michael says, Henry loves mirror glaze. Henry groans, nothing setting for him. My freezer dislikes me. Henry has a blue tie on. Okay, out of the oven. Steph's come out. Michael's come out. Still got some wobble. David's waiting on his. Not baked yet. He's a little worried. Michelle's getting ready to blowtorch hers. David's waiting. It'll be quick. How much time? 10 minutes. Okay. Crunch time. Then you got to take them out of the tins. And this is a delicate process, apparently. So that's another reason why I probably wouldn't bake. And then we have Rosie's doing hers. And it like literally, she's being very careful, but it shoots off the pizza peel onto the floor. And to say Rosie's deflated is an understatement. Can't salvage that. Henry tries to help, but I say, just focus, everybody, but it's crushing. And Rosie's like, that's it, I'm going home. 5 minutes left, and still decorations going on. Priya's painting stars. David's decorating. Really good artist, David is. Flapper girls. People are putting their flowers or their decorations on. Helena's getting her Gorgon thing going, or sea creature. And a lot of beautiful designs. These are really pretty tarts. So overall, I'd say, look at those figs. Holy cow. Rosie's jelly didn't set, but still some popping colors. Time is up. So they set it down, you know, see what's up. Hugs go around. And who do we start with here? David? It looks like from a French pâtissier shop. Very professional, neat on the outside. Look flirty, almost, Noel says. Base is perfect. Custard amount, well cooked. They take a bite. That's custard pie. Silky smooth, delicious. Paul pauses, reaches out, handshake. Impeccable perfection, filled to the top level. Holy cow. Could use a tiny bit more filling, maybe. Then they go to Michael. Well done. Custard texture looks good. Lovely and silky. Michael's trying to breathe. And the ginger balance is perfect. Baked beautifully. Just a little more custard in there. Well done, though. Beautiful pie. Wow. Thank you. Then we have Priya. Oh, dear. You looks like you boiled yours, they say. What happened? She also ran out of time on her decorations. and it bubbled up or something. So he brought it out, and then it sinks down. But tastes amazing, Paul says. It's too bad that he boiled it. Then we have Alice, orange and custard, who takes a bite. Is there booze in there? Orange juice, orange zest, orange extract. Don't do the orange extract. It overwhelmed it. We have Steph, simplistic but effective. Color looks okay. Golden. The custard looks set. And flavor's beautiful. Pastry's fantastic. Flaky, loose, delicious. Lots of citrus. And we go to Michelle's. Paul takes a bite. Getting any blueberry? I don't have any blueberry in there. Taste. Too bad. Sugar top didn't really work, but they do look neat. Thank you. We go to Henry. They look neat. Thick base, though. Could use some more filling, less base. All flavor's good, though. Lovely zing, Prue says. Overbaked, too little of it, though. We go to Helena. Hers looks like amazing. The design's incredible, lovely color, lavender, but too much lavender. Oh boy, a little bit soapy. Oh God, not bad, not brilliant, but not bad. Then Rosie lost one of my tarts on the floor. Okay, well, they look exquisite. Love the jellies. But they didn't all make it on top. Some melted. Okay, not totally finished, but colors, pastry's damp, not crisp. Matcha comes through. Not one of my favorite flavors, but fair enough. Love the blackberry. Flavor's delicious. And we do the talking as Rosie says, I despise custard. Henry says, it was thick, but... should have rolled it out more. David's happy. Yeah, got a handshake. And Michael's happy for David. It's all right so far, but technical. It's always a disaster. We see a bird in the sky. Deep fat fryers for everybody. But other than that, it's a mystery. And they're technical. Paul, or Noel skates out, kind of, or slides out. Any words for advice, Prue? 4 basic skills for the challenge. You got to get them all right. And so Paul and Prue, they're going to leave the tent, you lovelies. They're going fracking. Okay, 18 beignet souffles. And everyone looks at them. What? It's a fried shoe ball with raspberry jam, crispy on the outside, light and fluffy on the inside, uniform in size and shape, served with a sabayon. A sabayon? What's that, a souffle? What's a souffle without a sabayon? Hour and a half, on your mark, get set, bake. Everyone's groaning. No, Michelle's like, I never heard of this. Profiteroles, maybe, Helena says. There's 6 instructions, Michael says. That's it. So, okay, 1920s, these were popular then, Bruce says. You gotta make shoe pastry, which shouldn't be hard, but not many people fried shoe before. Usually you bake it. And then you got to get perfect size balls and drop them in. 2-spoon method, Prue suggests. Quenelle shaped or something. It should be soft, stretchy dough, lots of air. And the sabayon's kind of like a custard you dip it in. And then the jam. Like a little cloud of flavor. Fantastic light, airy beignet souffles. With a perfect sabayon. Not much to ask, is it? Okay, and then everybody's trying to measure out what's pat the shoe. Shoe pastry, maybe? Kind of forgot how to make that, but everybody's trying to figure that out. This is so hard. Butter and water. Shoot the flour and mix it in. But that's what part of the shoe is, maybe? Got to cook it off and make it a paste and then cool it down before you add the eggs. Because you want them to scramble. When do you put in the eggs? It looks like mashed potatoes. So add the eggs bit by bit. Don't want to shock it. And Sandy says to Alice, hey, are you smiley? She says, I have no idea what a shoe should look like. Henry says it should drop, but mine's not dropping nicely. Elena's like, I think I have it right. Henry's like, mine's pipeable. So maybe let it sit, David says. I have no idea. Okay, three. Pipe it into a spoon, an oiled spoon, and drop and make 18 balls. That's so easy. 190. Pipe your shoe. Some people's are runny. Some people's like, but how do you make a ball out of a piped piece of shoe? So people are experimenting. Most people are using a single spoon method, putting it in the oil, seeing if it pops up, puffs up into something. But then you also have to cook both sides. And Noel talks about the movie Face Off. And he goes, what if we did a switch? I was a vet and you were a stand-up comedian. There'd be some angry stallions. I don't know. They talk about it. So then we got more frying. Some people's are, you know, balls. Some people's are just like pieces of fried dough. Crispy on the outside, soft on the inside. David says, mine's gross. It's raw in the middle. Michael has to start again. His is too runny. Get a drone shot. Noel and Sandy are playing on old-fashioned walkie-talkies or kids' walkie-talkies. No batteries. David's trying to make his shoe pastry again. So is David, I guess. Steph's making her frying her shoe balls. And second batch for David's looking the same as the first. Most people's, Michael's is still too soft, won't hold together. And he's freaking out. Keep going, Michael. He wants to quit almost and leave the tent because he can't get his to stay together. They say maybe take a break, but he says I can't do it anymore. But if I leave, I'll just stop altogether. And Noel says, why don't you take a 5-minute break? And then, no, I'm going to keep going. Because you're going to do it. They're really encouraging. You can do this. But everybody's counting out to make sure they have the right number. And you got to make a jam. Nothing on the instructions, just make a jam. Berries, sugar, maybe. And people are temperaturing their jam, so you must have a jam. You're supposed to make smooth jam, Steph says. So she receives hers. 15 minutes, then sabayon. What's a sabayon? A custard, maybe? Castor sugar, egg syrup, and masala. Whisk it together. Cook it in like double boiler type of thing. And get it to the ribbon stage. Some people are making it on the stove. Some people are making it a double boiler. Nice and thick, you want it. Okay, Helena says, mine's all right. 5 minutes left. Michelle's skipping and dancing. And everybody starts piping their jam into their shoe balls. Scoot, you got to, some people's aren't, it's not easy. And trying to find 18 of them. And some people don't have, I don't think everybody has 18. And then sprinkle with icing sugar. So everybody's trying to put theirs together. This is not an easy one. Time's up. And bring them to the table. Okay, so perfectly formed souffles filled with raspberry jam. Beautiful sabayon. And so they say, okay, where should we start? Okay, we start with this one. Spria said they're fairly round. They look light. Not bad filling. Structure's there. And tastes good. Okay. Interesting sauce. Not what we asked for. Then they go to Michelle's. So they look like potatoes. Color's not bad. Doughy inside. Filet sabayon's there. And then they go to Alice's, too dark, texture's good, nice, light and airy, Sauvignon split though. Then they go to Michael's, few issues, more like Bellini's, no volume. The Sabayon is very, very good, though. Then they go to Rosie's. Color's not bad. A little dark. Cooked through, though. Too much jam. But they taste okay. Sauvignon's not whisk enough. Split badly. And staffs are all different sizes and shapes, but they're baked all the way through. Too much jam. Flavor's okay. David, they say, not a happy sight. Look like churros that they're raw inside. Not a Sauvignon. Elena says, this doesn't look bad. Nice color. Aeration. Too much, not too much jam. Delicious. Sauvignon's not good. Split and thin. And Henry, variety of colors. They are cooked on the inside. Structure's good, but uneven. And his is more like a heavy cream. Okay, so then they go from worst to best. David's in last place. Fair disaster. Then Michael, then Michelle, then Alice, then Rosie, then Steph, Henry. Second place is Priya. And don't know how with your Sauvignon. And first place is Helena. Everybody cheers, hugs her. Your beignets were perfect. Structure and jam was lovely. You did split your Sauvignon, so just barely scraped in. She says, I don't care. I'll take it. Bless all the bakers, the talking heads. They all wanted me to win. They're all so happy. And she takes hugs instead of handshakes. David says, I did good in one and terrible in another one. Michael's really stressed. Then we see, these outside shots, more outside shots than I've seen before, noticed before. So he's sitting on a bridge. Then Steph and David are on a couch, and Michael comes, or Steph and Henry, and then Michael comes and sits with them. And we get a couple boom shots. Then we have the bakers walking in the tent again. Nice day. All right, this is a big one now. And table talk. David was flip-flopping. Handshake on the signature. Last place in the technical. Elena didn't do well, but then she's first in the technical. Bruce worried about Priya. She has to do something amazing. She didn't do well. I'm not a baker, but when you say she boiled it, not a good thing. And this challenge is really going to be make or break. Michael's been stressed. He's doing all right, though. But he's scared. Like Paul says, what's with the emotion? And they say, oh, you're so steely, alpha male, Paul. No emotion. Don't you get a funny feeling when you like someone? Because I thought that was a tummy tum tum. Okay, then we're back to the tent. We get everybody's heads roaring. 20s, prohibition era cake. You know, so prohibition, no alcohol. So put the alcohol in the cake, eh? 1920 themed two-tier cake based on your favorite cocktail. Visual spectacle of the era. 20s cocktail culture, 4 hours. And your market set bake. So then everybody's getting prepping. It's too quiet for Helena. And 4 hours to produce this. You got to think backwards, Paul says. How long is it going to take to decorate? An hour, maybe more? So you got to be out of the oven plenty of time. And then Prue wants three things. Wonderful design, delicious cake, and the taste of a recognizable cocktail. Real men cry, hashtag man tears. Michael says, celebrate your chosen cocktails, coconut extract, coconutty, pineapples, coffee, liqueur, caramel, cream. Most bakers are introducing alcohol drizzles, which cannot be added until the sponges are baked. So everybody's trying to get their cake batter in. They start with Michael. He's doing a bramble, gin, lemon, blackberry trickling through it. Hopefully it'll be drizzling through the layers like a bramble. and Brambling Cake, creme de Moor buttercream, blackberries, simple, elegant. But will I get it done? Let's see. Well, you know, we got whatever, 2 hours and 43 minutes or something. Elena's doing a cake from Bram Stoker's adaptation, 1922, Red Velvet. And they laugh at that. There's also a fly on her head. And they joke about that. It's a kiss, raspberry kiss cake with vodka, homemade raspberry vodka, vanilla, vanilla buttercream, cream cheese icing in between the layers. Is that a real cocktail? Prue says, yeah, she says it is. Have you ever had a kiss of a something or other? So they joke back and forth. Oven's at 180, 25 minutes from Michael. Steph's putting her sponges in. Rosie, Elena, into the oven. Alice is in front of hers. So much to do. And the fillings are another opportunity to supercharge your flavors, eh? Adding the booze, Henry is. So, yeah. Then Sandy wants to reenact the handshake with David. And she goes, you went from hero to zero, huh? And he goes, yeah, that's not great. But you know you're more optimistic. Oh, yeah, I can be optimistic. Amaretto sour cake. Aromatic, amaretto soaked, aromatic bitters buttercream. Says, yeah, I don't have really drink alcohol. And Michelle is going, I went with my sister to Liverpool. We had a wild weekend. Copious amounts of cocktails, and I made this cake. So I made this cake for my sister. Dancing Queen's pina colada cake. Coconut sponge, pineapple filling, coconut flakes, sprinkles and gold leaf. A geode effect of the fault line. And Prue says, I love coconut and pineapple. So is Michelle. Michelle isn't the only one. Prue is also doing a pina colada style. Swiss butter. Other people are Swiss something buttercream. So let's see. We got Alice is also doing a pina colada. Rum sponges, coconut buttercream, Art Deco modeling, caramelized rum pineapple. So hers is kind of like a pineapple upside down cake style. And they say Paul makes fun, gives Prue a hard time about the 1920s. And they like that she's doing something a little different, even though like a lot of people are doing pina colada. There's a lot of different twists on it. Steph is using tin goods were all the rage in the 20s, obviously. So her pineapple cake is using tin pineapple. Because apparently that gets a better curd, canned pineapple juice. So sour lime pina colada cake, Swiss meringue buttercream, candy shards. She goes, I've sat on a sunbed in the sea in one of those all-inclusive hotels. And let's see, we got Alice taking her cakes out. Everybody's cakes are either in the oven or coming out. Henry's making some strong coffee liqueur. The strongest coffee in the world. Well, Waitrose, white Russian cake, coffee buttercream, hazelnut praline. So the dude would like that cake, but he's doing it like a tower, a 1920s tower. Rosie's trying to flip her cakes now that they're out of the oven. She's also doing a white Russian cake, totally different. So chocolate ganache, vodka Swiss meringue buttercream. And it's a lot to do. Hope you pull it off. You need to, Prue says to her. And she says, I better be brilliant. That's what they meant. And Noel says, Sandy, me and you are going to have a sack race. So I'll give you a head start. They're halfway through. Stuff's still coming out. People are testing their cakes to make sure they're done, painting their cakes, make sure they taste good. You don't want to have a soggy, unstable sponge. And you want to be able to taste the alcohol, but not, you know, too much. It could be dry and flat, you know, too much, not too little. And yeah, so everybody's whatever, drizzling their cakes. Sandy tries Helena's raspberry vodka right from the bottle. Just holy cow. And she goes, I'm going to go lie down for a while. I'll be back. Prius, like, no alcohol. So that's what I would have to do. It's a Mina Colada cake, passion fruit sponge, coconut buttercream. So it's a mocktail. And Prius, like, I got to do well. Otherwise, I'm definitely out. 1 hour left. Noel has, like, a fake cocktail. Turns it upside down. People are trying to decorate and stack their layers and, you know, make it look nice. Dark chocolate ganache. So people are frosting their cakes. And, like Priya's talking about the kids and watching her. Who is that Ewok? And the polar bear and the glamorous posh lady. And they're talking about the pina colada cakes, Paul and Prue. It's going to be interesting. Who's going to do the best bake? Be interesting. Most 1920s design. All down to the showstopper. And everybody wants to do well. They want them to do that well. We could judge it from here, which would make it difficult. We see the tent, Sandy's got wings on, and cakes are wobbling, trying to check their stabilities. Henry's worried, his cake almost fell down, and Alice is trying to assemble her cake without it falling apart, because she had that bad luck earlier. She gets it layered on, but it looks a mess, she says. I think it looks very 1920s, in my opinion, but... So tears are getting assembled. Now you got to decorate. And it's very hot now. Everybody's talking about it. Buttercream's melting. People are shaking. David's calm, though. Do you get flustered? You know it's going to be fine? David says, well, you can't change it now. It's like, Bill says, you're like the Dalai Lama. Yeah, go chat with Michael. Because he gets stressed. This is Henry's first tiered cake, and maybe it's the last. We see an iron owl, 10 minutes left. People are still doing piping and decorating and drawing and trying to get everything assembled, putting gold on, piping flowers, putting drizzles on, candy on there. And Steph has to help Henry because his workstation's a bit of a mess. Bria's making like kind of stained glass windows. David's fancying his up. He said, I'm just doing extras. Time is up. And Rose is kind of freaked out. But it's time for the judgment of Paul and Prue. See everybody's cake. We start with Michael's cake. It's actually really neat, original, nicely done. And it's stark because you got blackberries, black icing, white icing, piping's good. Michael breathes. Your drizzle didn't quite drizzle through the layers of the cake. Looks more like a smudge, but I like the sponge. Too bad we don't have that fruit coming through, but you got the color. Just not the flavor, but nice cake. Then we have Helena's cake. It's like they say, such a mixture of sinister and pretty, Spruce says. And she says, that's me. Everybody laughs. But I don't like the outside of it. Piping doesn't work. I think that was Paul. Very red cake. They take a couple bites. Henry's crossing his fingers for Helena, but it's bland inside and dry. No vodka. Henry's outraged at that. But if you shut your eyes, it's a sponge cake. Then we go to Henry's. Elegant, dramatic, very 20s. Prue likes that. And his fingers are even more crossed for himself. Obviously, lovely flavor, a little dry. Okay. But structure and design is good. Thank you. We have Rosie's cake. See, this is interesting cake. It's got this mirror glaze and it's thick ganache. And Paul says, wow, that's not, it's like chocolate bar, the ganache. And Prue can taste the alcohol. Like the sponge, flavors are beautiful, but the thickness on the outside of the cake. Otherwise, it's a really good cake. Not perfect, but we have David, and his cakes are a little bit dropped in, but they say, she says, naked cake look is good, nice and lemony, good flavor. Buttercream's grainy, though. Paul does not like that. Should be silky smooth. The sponge is baked well, though. Then they go to Alice. Okay, drawing is not good on the, could be neater. There's a nice pieces of pineapple in there. It was just a bit clumsy having the pieces in there. Could be fantastic. It's a good cake, but it could be fantastic. And then the Priya goes, they say, yours looks half decorated. It's rushed. Nice flavor, more passion fruit maybe. Overall, the cake's nice, but a fondant's too thick. Then Steph is up. If this is supposed to be a pina colada cake, it looks like one. Let's see how it tastes. And knife just drops right through. Is that good or bad? We don't know. Looks appetizing. I like the colors. And love the lime sponges. Delicious. I've never had anything like it, and that's a first for me. Really works clever. Thank you, Steph. Michelle goes, she said, Bruce says, the cake's interesting. It's pretty, but it's overthought. Too many concepts at once. The layers don't match, so they take a slice. Sponges are nice and equal. Texture's nice. And shaving and flakiness of coconut doesn't work in the cake, though, and it's too dry. Lack of flavor. Smaller cake with more pineapple and no coconut, but more full flavor. And then she says, that couldn't have gone worse. I feel like I was getting in trouble at school. Rosie says, I don't know what's going to happen to me. She said it wasn't perfect. Priya wants to stay for another week, but it could be the end of the dream. Elena says, normally a showstopper saves me, but I did, I don't know. I hope it's enough. We see a stream. We see fish in the stream. We go to table talk. Okay, who's the top of the pack? Steph. Steph's in good shape. Consistent baker. Good week. Lime knocked out. Henry did a decent job. Flavors were good. Elegant cake for Henry. And David's great decoration. Artistic. He backed his style up with substance. And who's in trouble? Well, there's a lot of trouble. Michelle, Helena, Priya, Rosie. And at this point, when you look over all three challenges, there's two people falling away. I'm going to say, okay. We see everybody's heads waiting. They say, okay, unfortunately, I got a wonderful job of announcing a person who's star baker. Person who's one star baker is Steph. So Steph puts her hands over her face. She says again. And there's two of you this week. Two more people are going home. There's two people going home. Holy cow. So that's a rough one. And Sandy has to announce that it's Michelle and Helena. They're kind of shocked. Everybody's kind of shocked. I think particularly Helena. I mean, Michelle was like, geez, no surprise. She says to Brew, I'm happy I got to week five. Got to be star baker. Bringing that geode cake to extra slice. But it's been emotional. And it made a lot of good friends. Friends for life, yeah. Helena, the boss says, sorry, we have to get rid of your sister, Noel. But she says, I'm okay about it. I had an amazing time. Learned I can take criticism and laugh with it. which I'll make positive. So I carry on. And Priya's like, holy cow, I dodged it, man. Cat with nine lives. Rosie and her really hug it out. Rosie was like, I thought I was gone. So how do I come to terms with that? She says, I don't even understand. And she said, Prue said it was really close. Alice lifts up Steph and swings her around. Steph Starbaker, 2 weeks running. She doesn't know how good she is, Prue says. And Steph says, I feel like I'm in the middle of the road, so it feels a bit weird. She's chewing her finger. I'm speechless, like, what? At a loss for words. And that's the conclusion of the episode. It ends there, and yeah, another relaxing episode of the Great British Bake Off. Good night, everybody. I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently. Anita, Nicole, and S. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Gregory, Jennifer, and Emily. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Brittany, Dawn, and Peter. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Elizabeth, Sunny, and Emma. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Marie, Joey, and Reed. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Rachel, Snibbity, and Dave. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. And Sydney and Susan. Thanks, and good night. Sleep With Me is here because of people who support the show directly on Patreon or Apple Podcasts. And we exist as a free show because of people also that support our sponsors. So thank you so much for supporting the show and helping keep it come out. And you can support the show for free too by spreading the word, just letting people know about podcasts, whether you use social media, forums, or Discord, you know, part of communities when sleep comes up, let them know your honest experience with the show. Or podcasts in general, even, and that'll help everybody. Thanks and good night. And here's Scoots, our Talk You In sponsor. That's our almost 600 free episodes in the archives. Thanks and good night, everybody. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now, I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all my feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback. feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support, support@supercast.com. And good night.